pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Preach the gospel to the Tennessee Vols.
Oh, boy. I think it needs to start with the fans showing up and creating a little home field advantage. And then I really believe that the next thing that needs to happen is this offensive defense line for Tennessee has to show up. I think the defensive line has to be an X factor. They got to put pressure on Carson Beck. Last week, Carson had zero pressure. He was in the pocket for days, and he's going through his reads so well. He's so accurate. So I think this defensive line for Tennessee, which has played really well at times, has to have maybe their best performance of the entire season. And I think the offensive line, you got to be able to sustain a running game or at least get it going at times, because this offense, even though people think it's a high-flying offense, no, it starts with the running game. That creates everything from it. So the fans need to show up, and so do the big boys.
Well, unfortunately, the fans aren't playing the game, so I think they'll be very much so into it.
You sure about that? I've met some who want to.
Well, good luck playing against Georgia if you came out from the stands. That'd be really good. I would love to see that, actually. I think let's talk about how Tennessee can maybe run the football. I think it has to start with Joe Milton, actually. I think the quarterback design runs needs to be a big factor in this game, which Tennessee has kind of been reluctant to do all year. They haven't leaned on that a lot. I think Joe Milton needs to be sore after this game, and not because he was getting hit in the pocket, but because he
the front of his jersey
needs to be dirty after this game. And so if you do that, you sustain drives, you keep that Georgia offense off the field. So that's another way to play really good defense, is keeping your offense on the field. And then after that, defensively, whatever you did last week, please get away from that. I think last week was such a bad deal for them. They need to continue to stay in their gap, stay gap sound up front, because Georgia's going to run the ball at times. But I think Georgia's such a throwing team now when we look at them offensively. And so you got to be able to affect those guys. And the D-line has been the best part of Tennessee's defense all year. Well, they need to really show it tomorrow. They need to be a factor in this game.
Well,
like
when
Tim
we think about Tennessee, you think about the two biggest X factors that could possibly be in college football: a quarterback that runs the ball and a defensive line that takes over.
Yep.
They have the ability to do that, but I think they have to show up in a way they haven't all season. That defense line's got to take over, and I agree with you. Joe Milton has to be an X factor with his legs, because that is the biggest equalizer in college football is a quarterback on third down and in the red zone that uses his legs, makes people miss. And he had a few chances last week against Missouri on third down, and he got brought down on one-on-one situations.
Yep.
Against Georgia, that can't happen. You got to at least make four or five of those plays on third down in the red zone. You got to keep it alive. That's just as good as a turnover on third down when you get dragged down on one-on-one situations. So I think he has to play big with his arms, with his mind, but also I think it's a great point with his legs.
All right, it just came to me. Okay, Tennessee fans, I know how you can affect this game. When it's fourth down, you need to be loud and make sure you put the pressure on Coach Heupel to go for it. You need to come into it. I need a fake punt. I need a fake field goal. I need an onside kick. You got to find a way to steal a couple possessions in this game, whether it's forcing turnovers. If not, then you got to call it as an offensive play caller. Say, hey, we got to be aggressive. I don't care if we win by a little or lose by a lot. It's still the same thing. You got to come in with a different type of mentality and say, hey, look, it doesn't matter about how I look as a coach, how we look after a loss, because at the end of the day,
you lose by a little or lose by a lot. You do care if you win by a little.
I want to win by little.
Got you.
Or it doesn't matter how I lose.
I hear you.
Yeah,
I agree with that
part. Yes.
Let me explain. I've heard you say this. I want you to explain. Because Georgia won by 35 points. Tennessee lost by almost – I mean, it looks like just a complete mismatch.
For sure.
But take us inside how last week doesn't matter when a team shows up here on Saturday.
Because it's a different 3 hours of football. It's on a different field. It's a different matchup. Matchups, you know, styles make fights, and this is a different style. And how teams show up really matters. You're not the same every week. I mean, so many times we think that we're the same every game. We're not. We're different every single week. We're not a Madden rating that you come out and every week you're a 93, a 97, a 99. That doesn't happen. All these kids are 18 to 22 and you're emotional, and some of them could show up and, you know, you could very easily be a little complacent. Some could be have an edge. Some could be mad. Some could be upset. Like, it's all about peaking at the right time. Look at how much different Alabama is right now than they were at the beginning of season. It's a different football team.
Correct.
Look at how Georgia has improved. It's a different football team. We're not the same every single week. The great teams aren't the same in September than they are in December. You get better every single week. These kids are learning, adapting, growing, and also growing together as a culture. That's what great teams and great coaches do. Now, how can Tennessee go from last week where it was
terrible,
a slow beating, to this week where you could show up for 3 hours and play improved, play inspired, play with the momentum. Also, you know one of the biggest changes in it? Team plays confident with momentum. We see this all the time. Teams are not the same from week to week. Look at even take Florida. Look at how they play it at times. When they played Tennessee so well 1 week, and then the next, they didn't show up the same, right? We're not a Madden rating. We don't come out and play the same every single time. There's a whole lot of factors that play into that, and that's something that should make Tennessee fans a little encouraged, maybe.
A little? You basically, if I know you, you want to say, folks, go home. It's not happening tomorrow, right?
No. You should definitely show up tomorrow. Dolly Parton is performing at halftime. So, come to Dolly Parton. It's okay.
Dolly Parton?
Yeah. Dolly World, baby. Come on at halftime. It's all
really,
good.
Is she performing?
But performing at halftime, Paul.
Really, listen, guys, we have seen crazy things happen,
you know,
in rivalry
Dolly,
games.
Yeah, you know everybody.
Crazy things have happened. I just think it's why we
party?
Show up. It's a cliche. Why we play the game,
yeah.
You know? Like, just.
I think the only thing crazy tomorrow will be is, will Georgia win by 20 or 25?
Yeah!
I thought Tennessee fans stood up for their team. You're going to let this Bama guy get away with that? These guys born in Prattville, Alabama, you're going to let them come into your house? Apparently.
They like yours.
Well, not after last week. I mean, I saw the funniest thing after the game. Somebody sent me a picture of Smokey, real Smokey,
uh-huh.
The dog. With a bag over his head.
It was not a good performance, just flat out. But I think what Tim's saying is important, that this is a different week, so you will get a different team. I think it also motivates this team that nobody's going to give them a chance.
Yeah, nobody.
And you got the opportunity of a lifetime to knock off the number
one
team.
About,
so you will
about
be more enthused about it. Paul, think about it. Sleep on it. I don't want you to make a decision right now.
I've done that before.
Sleep on it. I've already made my decision. You don't be like me, please.
I may be that contrarian.
Go ahead. I love it.
I mean, you've done that before with Florida, haven't you?
I was the contrarian last week.
Although he doesn't do it anymore. I mean, lately, Tim's with Georgia.
Yeah, he's off of it. I was the contrarian last week because I was the only one that picked Missouri.
Yeah,
because
were.
I felt like they were the best team. And
they were the better team.
They were the better team.
For sure.
They were significant. Let's talk about Georgia before you go. Because talk about a program that doesn't look the same as they did against Auburn 9 weeks ago. What about them?
They're just getting better and better. I also like Coach Bobo is doing offensively.
Agreed.
I mean, they're adapting. They're using first of all, they're dominating. They're mauling people up front. They're protecting the quarterback. They're using motions and schemes to either use Brock as a go-to guy or a decoy guy. Either way, it's effective. Ladd's getting healthy. You're also getting other playmakers involved, like three running backs, Ra-Ra Thomas, so many other guys, Oscar Delp, so many other guys. Dominic Lovett, so many other guys are making plays for him out wide. It's not a one option offense, like a little bit in the past. This is an offense that can go through the ground game. It can go through the screen game, the play action game, the drop back down, the empty game, motion. They're doing so many different things to keep people off balance. But I also think it starts with their offensive line is moving people and they're protecting the quarterback.
Yeah, I look at the quarterback specifically, and I'm not the one that just always wants to blow up quarterback play, but Carson Beck's playing really, really, really well.
Yes, he is.
And
really,
he has the arm talent that nobody has seen on the campus of Georgia since Matthew Stafford. And so when you're able to one ball a 28, 30-yard post route to Ladd McConkey.
It's ridiculous.
It's the things that I see that
you're being generous with that. That was a deep, skinny post. That was a nine-stepper.
Yes. And so when I see these things, I'm like, ooh, okay. This is something I put on my check mark that's like, okay, this is a big box that not a lot of people in college have. And when you have that in your back pocket that you can just break it out at any time, it really shortens up everything in the red zone. You're able to attack teams differently because you don't have to put any air on the ball. And so now you're able to do some different things
offensively. What do you guys see in terms of the integration of Brock Bowers back? I mean, what did you pick up and what do you see happening these next few weeks?
Well, I love that he's not always the go-to
guy. Yeah, he was a decoy. They didn't have
to use him as a decoy sometimes and sometimes as a go-to guy. Sometimes he's on the offside of the play. I love it because they have so many weapons that he gets to be a part of the game plan, not the only part of the game plan.
Great point.
And it's just, I mean, it's terrifying for defenses.
More from these guys tomorrow morning. We'll take a short break. We are live on Rocky Top, May. Yeah, we're off and running here. We have a lot to do over these next 4 hours.
They're still clapping after everything you said.
The Paul Feinbaum Show. You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back in Knoxville, what a beautiful afternoon it is here. Pretty mild for mid-November, a week before Thanksgiving, as Georgia comes to town to take on the Tennessee. Well, it's Cole Kublik joining us from Kentucky, where we were last week. Cole, thanks so much for being here. And let's get into this game tomorrow, because it is really actually, are you in Columbia or you're in Columbia.
Columbia.
I'm sorry. Kentucky's playing
at South Carolina. Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, the Columbia and South Carolina. I have a quick question for you, though, Paul, if you don't mind. Okay. What is the more impressive feat, you doing get-up from the Admirals Club in the Charlotte Airport or McElroy doing our radio show from one of the Minute Suites in Hartsfield International?
Yeah, I think McElroy, because he probably had to pay for that. And I just literally, I've done this now 4 times in the last 5 weeks. I don't even ask. I just go back there. People come and, you know, I help deliver food after I do my hit. They're very nice to be there. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't. What does the Minute Club hour cost for Greg?
Yeah, you have to ask McElroy that. I've never been forced to do it, so he's super important, I guess.
Yeah,
to travel.
Yeah, we're on somewhat of a low budget here on the show, so we're not able to do anything. I did get some avocado toast though. That was my reward. Let's get to this game in Columbia, South Carolina. It seems like it's a really important game for both schools. I know that sounds like an understatement, but tell us what's going on there.
No, it's very important for South Carolina, Paul, because they have to win the last two to become bowl eligible. So they have to get Kentucky here tomorrow night, and then they would have to get Clemson here Saturday after Thanksgiving. Obviously, you have a young football team. Two freshman offensive linemen are playing. Lenore Sellers, a young quarterback that's played a little bit this season. A couple of young guys on defense. You'd love to be able to get those guys 15 more practices, get them the reps, maybe even let them play in a bowl game. You don't know what your roster is going to look like for a bowl game. So that's extremely valuable for a coaching staff that has a younger football team. And I think Coach Beamer and his staff know that they would love to get that. For Coach Stoops, I do look at it in a little bit different way. This is one that, yes, it could help you and it's going to help your season, but this could hurt you much more than I think it could actually help Kentucky this year, Paul. If they were to drop this game, I really do think the fan base is going to begin to look at this season in a very negative light. We had high expectations for what Kentucky could have been this year. They haven't necessarily met those expectations and could still get to 8 wins in the regular season, maybe 9 with the bowl game, which is a solid year. It's just with some of the high-power players coming in, I think the fans expected a little bit more. So I don't know what the perception change would be if Kentucky wins this game, but I have a pretty good idea what it would be if they were to lose this game.
Yeah, and on top of this game, Cole, they have Louisville next week, which is, you know, really, really high-ranked team, and they could end the season on an absolutely disastrous note. When you go back and think, what did they lose? They lost 3, they won 1, and now this would be they've lost another game or two. I mean, their season could literally go down in flames.
Absolutely, and that would be a rivalry game. Louisville, obviously, a top 12 team in the country right now. Jack Plummer playing great football, but it's a matchup that I do think would favor Kentucky in a lot of ways. It's just, where would your momentum be? Where would you be mentally, emotionally, if you dropped this game here in Williams-Brice and then had to try to go play that one the next week?
Cole, let me get to some of the big – I mean, there's been a million big stories all week, but starting with Mississippi State, we spent so much time on the other firing, but just in terms of where what's ahead for the Mississippi State program, what is your sense of what type of person would help them elevate beyond where they are right this minute?
Well, I'll say this first, Paul. With any of these coaching hires, I think management and being able to manage – is the most important term or phrase in college football as it pertains to coaching right now. And people will say, oh yeah, managing your roster, you have the transfer portal, you have recruiting. I think it goes much further than that. You have to manage NIL, you have to manage the people who are now involved in that, not just players or parents or coaches, but also the people who are going to be giving to that NIL fund in a lot of places. You have to manage your coaching staff, you have to manage game, in-game, you have to recruit your roster every day of the calendar, Paul. So being able to manage, having a network of coaches to be able to turn to if someone did leave or couldn't be on your staff anymore, I think it's the most important thing that you can get in a coach. And unfortunately, I don't like saying this, just being able to coach ball, so to speak, might be less important right now for a college football head coach than it's ever been. You just don't need to be as involved in that aspect of the day-to-day inner workings of a college football program. I'm a little confused on this one because I have heard from, talked to a lot of people, done a lot of interviews with, that this needs to be some offensive innovator, some unique offensive style. They need to go get some spread option style or run the triple option or bring this guy in because he has a unique offense. I understand what Dan Mullen did, and Dan Mullen did spread things out, and Dan Mullen did pick up a lot of yards, but go look at the defensive linemen and linebackers Dan Mullen had drafted. Go look at how his offensive lines played when he was at Mississippi State. That was still a physical football team to me. And this is just my impression, Paul. This is how I view Mississippi State. It's always been a hard-nosed, gritty program that will fight you anytime, any place. One that takes the 3-star and turns them into a first-round draft pick. A little bit of a developmental program that loves to play that underdog role, that loves to feast on momentum, that loves to intimidate at times. That's how I view Mississippi State. So do I think that some offensive wonder boy fits that role? I really don't think that that's the case. For me, go get somebody that fits the person of your fan base. I think it's an easy hire. I go to Troy, Alabama. I get John Summerall. I ask him what he wants. I give it to him, and I get done with it right now. I let him get in and work the portal. I let him get in and work our early signing period because he's been around big programs. He's an organizer. He's not someone who's going to come in and say, this is the way we win football games, as in one style of offense or our running back or our quarterback. He'll win a football game any way that he can. He doesn't care. He just wants to find the best strategy each and every week. I think he's a hell of a football coach, and for me, I'd make it that easy.
Cole Kubik joining us from Columbia, South Carolina. Many thanks, Cole. We deeply appreciate it. Cole, of course, on the call there tomorrow night. We'll take a short break here. We have much more to do. We'll talk to one of the leading national columnists for USA Today coming up in a few minutes. We'll get a number of other people on board here. It is Friday afternoon on Rocky Top.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. As you look at the scene from, what's it, the 1980-something World's Fair, I've already forgotten. It's been so long, but the world came to Knoxville, and they're coming to Knoxville this weekend for the number one team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs. Blake Todmeyer joining us from USA Today. Blake, who covered this team for many, many years, understands games like this and understands Tennessee limping into games like this. Blake, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Great. So tell us, try to give us some framework, because there was so much buzz for Josh Heupel, and that buzz seems to be sputtering at the moment.
It does. I mean, if you look back to preseason expectations for Tennessee, I think it was to build off the momentum of last season. And I don't know that anyone rational was expecting a repeat of last year. You lose Hendon Hooker, you lose Jalin Hyatt and some others to the NFL. However, there was certainly, you know, some buzz about this program. But then they lose to a not very good Florida team in the Swamp, and you think, what happened there, right? That's been a tough venue on Tennessee over the years. So was it more about that, or was it more about Tennessee? Well, I think we've found out in the week since that it was more about Tennessee. I mean, this is a pretty average Tennessee team. They no doubt miss Hendon Hooker. And so now we look back on last season in a little bit different light and wonder, was that more Josh Heupel? Was that more Hendon Hooker? I think time will tell. But certainly, you know, this Tennessee season, you look back and say, what have they accomplished? They beat Kentucky on the road. They beat Texas A&M. Who hasn't done that? And there's not much else there.
Blake, let's talk about Texas A&M for a second, because there are so many different interpretations of what happened out there. But is it just the new normal that it just doesn't really matter what a school spends, whether it's $21 million for Gus Malzahn or $76 million for Jimbo Fisher? It's just college football.
Yeah, I think it still depends on the school a little bit. I don't think every school in the SEC can write a check for $77 million and get rid of their coach. But I do think, you know, and I believe you were in this camp as well, when we heard the naysayers say, well, they're not really going to pay $77 million, are they? I thought, well, of course they are if they don't turn things around. Like, you know, I mean, this is Texas A&M we're talking about. They're a fundraising giant. They're, you know, a revenue monster. You got Texas coming into the SEC next year, and they just weren't going to put up with mediocrity forever. I actually think that buyout bought Jimbo more time than he otherwise would have gotten. I mean, let's face it, he got six seasons. That's more patience than you can expect to find around the SEC by and large. So I don't know that $77 million will become the new normal, because there's not that many schools out there like A&M that can make a buyout like that. You know, they can take it on their shoulders. However, I'll say this, I don't think this will be the last time we see a buyout of that magnitude. I don't know that genie's going back in the bottle. I just think there's only a handful of schools that can pay that amount.
Blake, let's talk about what has been the biggest story of the season. It seemed like nothing was going to supplant Coach Prime, but Jim Harbaugh managed to, and it's been an extraordinary story to watch. It went down a week ago today, about this time, when Tony Petitti suspended Harbaugh for three games, and everybody talked a big game, starting with Jim Harbaugh. He couldn't wait to get inside that courtroom because he loves to watch Judge Judy. Everybody was thrilled about their position, and then they folded up yesterday, and today there are it's almost get whiplash trying to keep up with all the various reports about what is going on. Just how do you this from Ross Dellinger, NCAA presented Michigan evidence that points to a UM booster, Uncle T, as having partially funded the scouting scheme, and assistant coach now fired Chris Partridge. Partridge spent a couple years at Ole Miss, I believe, as attempting to destroy computer evidence. That's according to Wetzel and Dellinger. The story is unfolding, but it has taken a wicked twist against Michigan in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and the thing of this is, though, Paul, we know how slowly the NCAA moves to hand down any punishment in these type of situations. Now, the Big Ten has intervened here and issued some punishment of its own as it pertains to Jim Harbaugh. But that's what's interesting to me is, like, we have all this evidence coming out in real time that would seem to point to Michigan being caught red-handed in this situation. But again, the NCAA, if they were to get involved, I mean, they are involved, but to reach some sort of judgment, these things happen at glacial speed, and we've heard consistently from the College Football Playoff Committee that they continue to say this is an NCAA issue, and we've not seen the committee really penalize Michigan. I mean, I think their ranking has been pretty fair to what it would be if none of this was going on when you consider, you know, their schedule and who they've played. So, you know, unless the committee gets some sort of instruction here, I think they're going to keep treating Michigan as if all this other stuff is not going on behind the scenes.
And this is just an opinion from a long way off, Maryland tomorrow, Ohio State next week, that the walls are circling around a lot of people on that staff and connected that program, and they have insulated Jim Harbaugh as if there's no way he would really know, and all these other guys seemingly are getting hung out too dry. I mean, I would imagine it seems like a political scandal when everybody grabs lawyers and starts cutting deals.
Well, and we see this with coaches. We've seen it numerous times in the past. If it's a coach who's struggling on the field that you want to get rid of, well, then the university is happy to serve them up and say, go ahead, take the fall. We'll get out of our buyout here. It actually sounds kind of familiar since we're sitting in Knoxville, Tennessee, right? But if it's a coach who's thriving on the field, then as a university, you want to do the best you can to make sure that none of this comes back on the coach, because this is your coach that has you in position to contend for a national championship. So, yeah, it is interesting how that works, depending on what your record is, whether you happen to know anything about this or not.
You cover the SEC. Obviously, we're here covering the SEC as well. And I've been on a number of national programs since this story broke, and people say, well, do you think anything like this would ever happen in the SEC? And I'm not saying that things like this have not been happening, but my response has been that the SEC seems to be far more unified collectively, and I think the credit goes to the conference office and the commissioner. But I'm particularly curious how you frame it, because I mean that seems to be the Michigan response. Well, you guys are a bunch of whatever. You know, why are you picking on us?
Yeah, I mean, Greg Sankey certainly rules the roost of the SEC. There's no question who's in charge of the conference. Certainly, he listens to university presidents and all that, but he has the authority, he has the clout to drive this ship. And I think, you know, in the Big Ten, there's been a lot of skepticism as to whether that's the case here. You know, I think it's easy to wonder, what would the SEC do in a situation like this? I don't know. I have a hard time seeing the conference office get in the way of a team in the SEC that would have a shot at winning the national championship. Now, I also don't know if the SEC, one of their top dogs, would be caught this red-handed doing something like this. So that's a whole different story.
I like that
too.
Answer, by the way. Because yeah. I just think that when all this comes out, I mean, it's happening in real time. Everybody's pointing fingers. There are now selective leaks. But this has come a long way from what a lot of people, and even for a moment I thought, it just seemed like sour grapes by the NCAA. That is not where we are today.
No, I don't think this is a witch hunt by the NCAA. I mean, something comes to their doorstep and you have to investigate. I mean, this is a mountain of evidence that's been brought not only to their doorstep, but to the conference's doorstep as well. So, no, I don't. I never saw this as the NCAA trying to target. You know, I mean, every fan base thinks that, right, when their school comes under the microscope. But when you make it easy to go under the microscope, what's the NCAA supposed to do? And it's so easy to forget sometimes, Paul, that, like, the NCAA is not some, like, rogue being. As we know, the NCAA is made up of the institutions. Like, the NCAA is college athletics, right? And so it's easy to complain about the NCAA, and they are far from a perfect organization. But guess what? I mean, they are made up by its membership. So, in this case, what are they supposed to do? I mean, you know, there's evidence that came to the doorstep here.
Let me peek ahead. I know coaches don't like to talk about games down the road, but we're not coaches. We're 2 weeks away from sitting in Atlanta for the game of the year in the SEC. I thought this was going to be. It's not, unless Georgia loses. But give us just a sense of what that game will look like 2 weeks from now, the ramifications and literally everything at stake. Not to answer your question, but it's going to be pretty amazing.
Well, you got two huge narratives, right? And that's what makes the game so big. You have Georgia going for the historic three-peat. And depending on what happens elsewhere, I'm not saying Georgia couldn't get in with a loss, but I don't know that you want to take your chances seeing how many undefeated teams there are
today.
still out there, yep, today. Yes, that situation could look differently in December. So you have that narrative on one hand. On the other hand, you have Nick Saban in Alabama, and Saban was written off for about the 4,000th time earlier this season. Perhaps I was one of those doing that.
We've all been there.
Absolutely. And when you look at it at that point, they didn't play well against Texas. They absolutely looked like the worst team on the field that day. And then they followed it up with South Florida, and it's like, what is going on with this team? Well, Jalen Milroe is a better quarterback, no question about it, since then. And I think Tommy Rees has been calling the offense better since that point. I really don't know why it took that long. It's like it took him a few weeks to figure out what it was exactly that Milroe could do well.
Once he realized the guy he brought with him from Notre Dame couldn't play quarterback, he had to find some religion.
Yeah, absolutely. And he leaned into, to his credit, he did pivot, and he leaned into what Milroe does well. Milroe's gotten better. I think that offensive line's gotten better as the season went. This was a team with a lot of young talent on it, and I think that's starting to mature. I think the offensive line's starting to mature. The defense has been pretty good wire to wire. They'll still be the underdog against Georgia, but I give them much more of a chance than I would have even just a few weeks ago. I mean, that is shaping up to be the game of the season. I mean, I know we'll look at what happens between Ohio State and Michigan as a big one, but Alabama-Georgia, that's the game of the year.
Well, because it's in a championship game, mm-hmm, and whoever wins the Michigan-Ohio State game, I'm not even sure I could tell you who's going to represent whatever they call the other side of the Big Ten, other than it's a terrible group of collection of schools.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten Championship happens the week before the Big Ten Championship. The SEC Championship happens the day it's actually
supposed
to happen.
On the day of the SEC Championship.
No doubt about
it. I like it much better when that happens. Blake Topmeyer, always great to see you, Blake.
Yeah, good to see you too, Paul.
We'll take a short break. When we come back, two young journalists from the University of Tennessee School Paper will join us right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It is a busy day. Saturday starts early. You better have about 10 TVs for all this. You got Monroe and Ole Miss and the other games on digital, New Mexico State at Auburn. How about primetime in Columbia? We were just there. Well, the boys are back. The boys from the UT Daily Beacon, Caleb, I know your name. I've been with you all day. Caleb Girard. I went to a Daily Beacon lunch, and we had a few too many. I'm sorry, Caleb. and Eric Woods from the UT Daily Beacon. Guys, great to see you. You were nice enough to invite me to come to the offices today for a holiday. What do you call it? What was this thing
called? Non-holiday related shindig.
Yeah.
potluck.
Yeah, it's, there you go.
I mean, I mistakenly said, oh, the Thanksgiving lunch. I go, no.
can't tag a holiday with it.
No, I've been out of this thing for a while. I don't know all the new rules on the college campuses that 6 days before Thanksgiving, you can't say it's a Thanksgiving lunch.
Nope. Even though we had a lot of Thanksgiving pies.
I saw a lot of turkey.
Thanksgiving food.
I saw a lot of non-holiday turkey dressing and pumpkin pie.
Eat it with every meal.
So I don't know, guy. It was really fun for me. I mean, it was the newspaper office that I got my start in, and I don't know how to say this, guys, but not much is changing that. I mean, go out and buy it. Do you guys need me to donate a vacuum cleaner or something?
I think we have a vacuum cleaner. We don't have working office chairs, though.
We could use some paint.
Yeah, it had definitely changed, but it was fun. It brought me. You guys were nice enough to regurgitate some old articles about me.
Oh yeah, all the archives. It's Paul Feinbaum everywhere.
Yeah. Well, enough of that. Let's get to the game tomorrow.
the important stuff.
Let's talk about this because I've been here many times. I've already been here this year for the A&M game. Last year for the Alabama game, fans were telling me Alabama was going down. I haven't run into one Tennessee fan who has me convinced. I think Tennessee can win the game, but nobody else does.
Yeah, I think Tennessee could have
a shot.
That's
only because I had too much wine at the lunch.
Yeah, there you go. The potluck got to you. I mean, I don't know if Tennessee could have a shot in this game. It would have to take a lot in a team that doesn't perform like Missouri did last year. But, I mean, you would have to get Tennessee to score a first drive touchdown and Georgia to not score a first drive touchdown to win. But we'll see what happens here. What do those say, Paul?
You guys, I don't know. I saw these guys at lunch, but we have one that says Eric Woods Fan Club, and the other one, I love Caleb Giroux.
Great, we've got a fan club out here.
I mean, are these guys looking for a full time position on your staff?
I don't know.
Or what?
We now have your phones, so
allegedly.
Do you mind if I go through your contacts?
Allegedly, one of them wants to write about some baseball, so. I don't know if this is their way of getting in.
Trying to butter
you're
us
the sports editor, right?
Yeah, I am.
Things have. I told you earlier. I guess I'm going to hijack the interview again. Just like every person who's a million years from graduation, they want to talk about the good old days. But I was shocked. I made $40 a month in my last term as sports editor, and you told me you're making what?
We make a little over 200 a month. We're
blessed. Big bucks.
We're blessed out here at the Daily Beacon.
Am I quoting myself? I mean, I was in shock. I said, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, for student.
I'd do it for free, I mean.
For student work, yes.
I mean,
a lot of papers
don't make
money.
Do you know what that meant in the late 70s to make $40 a month?
You thought you were living large.
I mean, I was buying pitchers of beer down at at the last lap with that.
Yeah, and a lot of student newspapers don't get the opportunity to get paid for their work. I mean,
so you're not on the.
I'm assistant sports editor.
So that's not a paying gig.
No,
it is.
He's on the payroll.
I was saying I would, but.
But to get up here, you do have to work for free. So you got to put in your time still.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're blessed with our photographers, our digital workers, videographers.
Yeah,
editors,
you guys are.
There
was a movie about 30 years ago. I think it was. Was it Rodney Dangerfield Back to School? You know what? Anybody remember that movie?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take off the winter semester from ESPN and come back as a volunteer reporter and see if I still have it.
There you go. We'll send you to some Tennessee basketball games against mid-major schools and see how you do.
Okay. What else would you have me do?
Rowing.
I mean, I don't have any.
We got rowing.
I don't have any recent clips.
We can get something. What's over the winter break?
We got
swimming.
We do have swimming.
We had two Olympians on our swim team.
In 19 whatever, I covered UT winning the national championship in swimming. The coach was Ray Buzzard. Anybody remember him? I did remember. I mean, and they threw him in the pool.
Oh, is that like
they tried to throw me in.
Is that like the Gatorade bath for the swim coach?
They threw the coach in the pool.
Our men's team has one of the fastest swimmers in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Crooks.
Well, I mean.
So. That could be.
I want swimming. I want rowing. I don't want football.
You don't want the
country. That's not up your alley.
I'm too negative for what's happening this season. I wouldn't make. Guys, Caleb, Eric, one more time.
Hold them up.
Caleb, Eric, Eric Woods, Caleb, Gerard. Duro. Would you guys bring me more some of that wine from lunch?
I got it right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.